Translation: the person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, quote, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee, end quote. That is the way of pure disciplic succession, or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Judd Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a paramahamsa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahuganaita tapasanayati na chejaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasanai vajalagni suryair vina mahat padarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahamsa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshiping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee, therefore, never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Translation again. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatide Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakal Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So we are honored and privileged today to be in the presence of Sri Sri Radha Gokuladanda, Sri Sitaram Lakshman and Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, and Srila Prabhupada, and their devotees. Today's verse, on one level, discusses the difference between life and death. If someone is engaged in the service of the Lord, he is considered to be alive. And if someone is not engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he is considered to be dead. In other words, the real life of the living entity is devotional service. Without devotional service, we might as well be dead, or we are dead. And it is only by the association of devotees that we can get life, that we can get the clue to devotional service, which is the path to the lotus feet of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada left India at the advanced age of almost 70 years. He actually celebrated his 70th birthday while at sea on the way to America. In order to give life to people who were dead, they were dead, but still they were breathing. And as Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a person who is breathing, a person who is dead but still breathing, or a person who is breathing while dead, is a ghost. When one is very sinful, he gets the body of a ghost. The body of a ghost means that he has a subtle body, but not a gross body. The gross body is made of earth, water, fire, air, and space. And the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. So a ghost has no gross body, but only a subtle body. And therefore the ghost is invisible to our eyes, to our gross eyes. But we can perceive the effects of the ghost, because the ghost always creates trouble. Actually, there's a story about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for 18 years, he resided in the Gambira in Jagannath Puri, and experienced transcendental ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. And sometimes he would leave the room and in a very ecstatic state, and he could go anywhere, he could do anything. And the devotees were always concerned about him. Swarup Damodar Goswami was his main secretary in Jagannath Puri. And so he and Govinda, who was the Lord's personal servant, would always keep watch on the Lord, and they would lock the Gambhira so he couldn't escape. But sometimes, even though they locked all the doors and windows and Govinda would be standing guard, he would escape. No one knew how. And at night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would be in that mood of separation, and they could hear him chanting and singing and moving about in the room. And then suddenly they would hear that the sound had stopped, and they wouldn't know what happened. And they would go in and they would see he's gone. So one night when they discovered that the Lord had left the room, they went in different directions to try to find him. And one group went to the beach, and they were walking along the beach. And finally, some distance from the Gambhira, which is near the Jagannath temple, near the Konark temple, they found a fisherman who was in a very agitated state. He was singing the names of the Lord. He was shivering. He was laughing. He was crying. He was dancing. He was just a fisherman. So when the devotees headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami came across him, they asked him, as they were asking everyone, "Have you seen anyone? You know, we're missing someone, and we're looking for him." So the fisherman replied that, "No, I haven't seen anyone. Actually, I did see a ghost." And then he told the story that he had cast his net into the waters, and he found a very heavy weight in the net, and he thought he'd captured a big fish. But when he pulled in the net, actually he couldn't really pull it in, he had to go out to the net, he saw this huge body, and when he touched the body, he felt that a ghost, he thought that the body was a ghost and that the spirit of the ghost had somehow entered his body and taken possession of him. And since he was possessed by the ghost, he was, you know, singing, dancing, laughing, crying, trembling, and experiencing so many disturbing symptoms. And he was very much afraid. As Srila Prabhupada said, ghosts always create a fearful situation. So he was very much afraid that being haunted by the ghost, he would actually die. He would give up his body. And then he was worried, "What will happen to my wife and children if I die?" So he understood the principle of a ghost, that ghosts have material desires, but they have no gross body through which to fulfill their desires. So they try to haunt people. They try to take possession of someone else's body so they can enjoy through that person's body, through that person's senses. But of course, what happened here is that he caught Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his net. But because the Lord was in such an ecstatic state, his limbs became disjointed from his body, and he didn't look like Lord Chaitanya. So Swarup Damodar Goswami could immediately understand what had happened. And he told the fisherman that, "I'm an expert exorcist, and I can purge you from, I can purge the ghost from you." So he, this is also very interesting that the fisherman said that he knows that there are ghosts around, but he always sings the Nisringa mantras, and the Nisringa mantras always protect him. But in this case, when he would sing the Nisringa mantras, the influence of the ghost upon him would increase. So he didn't know what to do. So Saurabh Damodar Goswami said, "Don't worry, I'm an expert exorcist, and I will save you." So he put his hand on the fisherman's head and recited various mantras. And then he slapped him 5 times, and he said, "Okay, now the ghost is gone." So then the fisherman was relieved. And then Saurabh Damodar Goswami said, "Actually, that was not a ghost. That was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He said, "But I've seen Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so many times. He doesn't look like what I saw." And Saurabh Damodar Goswami said, "Because of his ecstatic state, his body changed its usual form, but it's actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So they all went to the Lord and they did loud kirtan and sprinkled water on him, and eventually he came to partial external consciousness and he resumed his normal form, and then everyone saw he's Lord Chaitanya. So the fisherman was actually experiencing symptoms of the ecstatic love of God, but he didn't know he was. He thought they were the influence of a ghost. But after he was relieved of the fear that he had been possessed by a ghost and became somewhat pacified, then he could understand what had actually happened. So we should be so fortunate to be haunted by such a ghost, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the ordinary ghosts, we don't really want to be haunted by them. As Srila Prabhupada says, the non-devotees, that means those who have not received the dust of a pure devotee, those who have not smelled the aroma of the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, they're like ghosts, and they haunt us. "You can't do this, you can't do that." Or sometimes they come and attack, do terrible things. So they always create a fearful situation. And most of the world, they may not be as bad as some ghosts, but most of the world has failed to receive the seed of devotional service, the life of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, they're like dead people. Actually, the first time I met devotees was at Brandeis University in Boston, where I was a student. And one of the professors there had invited Srila Prabhupada to speak. So after the program, one of the devotees made an announcement asking if anyone was driving to Cambridge or Boston, because the devotees needed a lift. The devotees didn't have any cars then. And so I did have a car, and I was going to Harvard Square to Cambridge, so I said I could take them. So when we got to Harvard Square, I let the devotees out, but after I let them out of the car, I realized I didn't have the address to come to the temple. I was looking for a guru, and I really needed the address, otherwise I didn't know how I'd ever find them again. So I parked the car and ran after the devotees, and there was this one devotee, the first one I caught up to, his name was Petit Pavan. And the devotees, it's like, they would just immediately start speaking about Krishna then. I mean, like, there was no inhibition or reservations. They just immediately start. So I caught up to him, and he looked at me. I didn't say anything. He said, "You see all these people? They're all asleep. They're like sleepwalkers. They're all walking along the street, but they don't know who they are or where they're going. They're just like sleepwalkers. So the conditioned souls are like that. They seem to be awake, but they're asleep. They seem to be alive, but actually they're dead because they don't have real life, which is Krishna consciousness. And therefore, our duty as devotees is to give them life, to awaken them from their slumbering state by giving them the knowledge of Krishna consciousness that we have received from our spiritual masters in disciplic succession. And that is the principle of parampara, that no one can become a devotee without being blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As Srila Prabhupada says, that one must become a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. So we cannot approach Krishna directly. We approach Krishna through his devotee. And who is a devotee? A devotee is someone who has served another devotee. And who is that devotee whom he's serving? He's someone who served another devotee. And that's parampara. I serve my spiritual master or spiritual masters. He served his spiritual master. He served his spiritual master. And all the way back to Krishna. But the best servant of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So that chain ultimately goes back to her. And therefore, devotees who want to get the mercy of the Lord, they approach the Lord through the line of pure devotees, and ultimately Srimati Radharani. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu mam partha divim prakriti mashrita, that the Mahatmas have taken shelter of the divine energy. The divine energy is Srimati Radharani. So ultimately we approach the Lord through his pure devotees and through Srimati Radharani. And we don't try to approach the Lord directly. And the mercy of the devotee of the Lord is more effective than the mercy of the Lord. Or rather, when one gets the mercy of a devotee of the mercy of the Lord will follow. And therefore, we should become the servant of a pure devotee, And I believe most of us in the room are devotees, which means that we have followed that process. And then we should give our association to others so they can also take up the same process. And that way we can give life to the living dead. And it's very serious. Sometimes we feel, self-conscious. We don't want to approach people. We don't know how they'll react. But actually, our mission is very serious. There's another verse from the fifth canto in that same section about Maharaj Rahuganath and Judd Bharat. And it says that if someone is running, and you know that if he stays on the same course, he's going to fall off the cliff and die. Who will not try to stop him? You know, no sane or a proper person will let someone rush to his death. He will try to stop him. So people are rushing towards their death, spiritual death. They're already dead, but at least they have the chance to come alive by the association of devotees. And if we don't intervene, we're allowing them to rush to their death. So this is a very important point. We have to receive the mercy from the pure devotees, but we also have to share the mercy with others, share the mercy with others. And if we don't, it's harmful to us. It's harmful to us. One of my god brothers, Mahatma Prabhu, told me he read an article, and the article said that if a cow has milk but is not allowed to give the milk, the cow will become sick. So we are like cows. We have the milk or the nectar of Krishna consciousness. If we don't give it, then we become sick. Once one disciple was trying to plan Srila Prabhupada's program, so he gave him different choices of where he could go for programs. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I am like a cow. Wherever you put me, I will give milk. So it doesn't matter. You can put me anywhere, it'll be the same to me, because wherever I go, I will give milk." So that is our duty. That is our life. Once I had gone to Bombay to meet people, to preach, and in the evening I came back and I met Srila Prabhupada, and like very enthused from being out preaching. And I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I like this preaching very much." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Not like this preaching, but this preaching is my life." So that's our life. The beginning of our life is adogravashraya, to take shelter of a spiritual master, dikshati, to take initiation from him, shikshati, to take instruction from him, Sadharma Pritcha, to inquire, all the things that we find in the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. But as we make more progress and we want to serve the pure devotee, we want to please the pure devotee, then we have to give what we have received. And the more we give, the more we get. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. This story is actually told in one book by Vivekananda. Anyway, so such rascals. Not that famous, because I think Vivekananda is not as popular as he used to be. But 30 years ago, or 35 years ago, when we first went to India, you'd see these pictures occasionally of Swami Vivekananda with a turban and sort of a blue background, and his arms were crossed like this. So once Prabhupada, he imitated, there's a picture, folded his arms like just like in the picture. Said, I am fool number one. Anyway, so coming back to the other story. So Ramakrishna told Vivekananda that I am going to transfer all of my knowledge to you. So you close your eyes, I'm going to touch you by like some mystical electric shock wave. I'm going to transfer all of my knowledge to you. So Vivekananda closed his eyes and waited for the electric current to enter him. And when he opened his eyes, he saw that his guru, so-called guru Ramakrishna, was crying. So he asked him, "Dear Master, why are you crying?" And Ramakrishna replied, "Because now I've transferred all of my knowledge to you, I don't have any left." Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada comments that this is a material conception of transcendental knowledge. Now, if you have something material and you give some of it away, you'll have that much less. You know, you have 100 pounds, and if you give someone 10 pounds, you'll have that much left. You only have 90 pounds left. But the reality in terms of transcendental knowledge is that the more you give, the more you get. It doesn't decrease, but it increases. And Srila Prabhupada said, to the contrary, if you have transcendental knowledge and you don't share it with others, you become envious. Which is a very interesting statement. And I've thought about it. How does that work? That if you have transcendental knowledge and you don't share it with others, you become envious. Well, in many places, but in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion of different anarthas, and one is called jiva himsa. Jiva himsa. This word jiva means living entity, but it also means to live. It comes in today's verse, the first word. So jiva himsa, jiva means living entity, and himsa means violence. Generally it's taken to mean violence. So Jiva Himsa on one level means to be violent to living entities, like killing cows. That's being violent. But killing any animal, even plants, but worse, animals. So that's on one level. But on another level, Jiva Himsa means, as Srila Prabhupada explains, Jiva Himsa means envy of other living entities. And in his discussion of Jiva Himsa, Srila Prabhupada says that stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness is an example of Jiva Himsa. Because every living entity has the right to become Krishna conscious. But if we don't give it to them, if we as devotees don't give them Krishna consciousness, they won't get it. That means we're denying them the right to live. We're denying them the chance to live. So that's Jiva Himsa, and that's envy. That's envy. Just like if someone is sick, if someone's dying, say someone's dying, and, you know, on the street, the person's dying of cold or something, you know that you could bring the person inside, just, you know, give the poor person some warm place to stay and some hot prasadam, and you could save the person's life. So if you don't do that, it means you're actually envious of the person. You envy the person's right to live. You don't want to give the person the chance to live. So people are dying for want of Krishna consciousness. If we don't give them Krishna consciousness, then we're really showing our envy of them. So this is a subtle point. If you have knowledge and you don't share it with others, you become envious. And the same also applies in the association of devotees. In our association with each other, we should be very simple and open-hearted. And we should all be in that mood of dasa, 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 anudasa, being the servant of the servant of the servant. And if a devotee gives us a good instruction, we should welcome it. Devotees have a lot of knowledge, but they keep it inside because they're afraid they might offend someone. And this applies even in the society of devotees. We're afraid if we say something, the person will get offended. But we shouldn't take offense. We should take it that that person is trying to help us. That dasa, 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 anudasa. That they are prabhus. Prabhu means master. So all the other devotees are our prabhus. That means they're our masters. That means we're their servants. That means we take instruction from them. And that's the mood that Prabhupada wanted us to have. That's why he wanted us to address each other as Prabhu. If you're my master, what does that mean? That means I'm your servant, das. And I should take instruction. So, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, the servant of the servant of the servant. And the more we become the servant of the servant of the servant, the more we relish the happiness of Krishna consciousness. There's a verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It also appears in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the verse, Rupa Goswami says that bhakti and mukti are like the desires for bhakti and mukti are like ghosts or witches that haunt the conditioned soul. And as long as one is haunted by these desires for bhukti, that means material enjoyment, and mukti, which means impersonal liberation, one can never relish the sweetness of devotional service. And Srila Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in their comments on this verse say that what is a ghost? What does it mean to be haunted by a ghost? To be haunted by a ghost means that he puts thoughts in your mind that aren't yours. He puts desires in your heart that aren't yours. You're not your real self. So in our actual identities, we're eternal servants of Krishna. Jive Swarupai Krishna and Nityadas. So these desires for bhukti and mukti, they're not us. It's like some force has possessed us and made us desire these things that we don't even really want, bhukti and mukti, and therefore it's compared to being haunted by a ghost. When one is haunted by those desires, he can't really relish the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says that as long as one desires to become more and more important, either in the material sense or the spiritual sense, one cannot relish the sweet taste of devotional service. So becoming important in the material sense means, you know, I want to become the president or whatever. And becoming more important in the spiritual sense means I want to become God. So the one is bhukti, and I want to become the president or the prime minister, or whatever. And the other is I want to become God. And in one class that Srila Prabhupada gave, he was saying that, so that's the, like, on the one hand, the more we want to become important, again, either in the material sense or the spiritual sense, we cannot relish the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And on the other hand, as Srila Prabhupada said in this one class, the more we want to become, and he moved his hand like this, the more we want to become the servant of 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 Krishna, the sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter Krishna consciousness becomes. The more we become the humble servant of the servant, the more we relish, and the more good instruction we get. That's the life of the devotee, to get instructions from superiors and to execute them. That means to serve the superiors. That's the life of the devotee. And we get that in the association of devotees. That's why the association of devotees is so valuable. But we should enter that association or keep that association in the right mood of being the servant of the servant. Everything that exists in the material world exists originally in the spiritual world. So pride also exists in the spiritual world. And one devotee quoted, again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that the pride of the devotee is that he's the servant of 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 the servant. He's the last. In the material world, the pride is, you know, I'm, you know, greater, you know, the master of the master of the master of the master of the master. I'm the supreme master. But the pride of the devotee is, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. I'm the last. That means I have the most masters to serve. That means I'm the wealthiest because I have the greatest number of masters to serve. So that should be our mood in our association. Then we can get lots of good instruction. But of course, we shouldn't be so eager to give instruction. That's the other side. We should be eager to receive it, but we shouldn't be so eager to give it. Like in the beginning, Prabhupada said that if someone asks you to do some service for them, you should always agree. But if anyone asks to do some service for you, you should always refuse. But of course, in a practical sense, because we're all serving Krishna, we're all serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're all serving Srila Prabhupada. So as long as we don't take anything for our sense gratification, but we actually take it in the mood of service, not to us, then... But it's... There's so many things to be considered. And there's also different degrees of seniority, different relationships. The Bhagavatam explains that everyone is in the mood of service. That's a given. But in a relationship between a greater and lesser devotee, the greater devotee should give, you know, affection and instruction to the lesser devotee. Between equals, they should be friends. And with a lesser and a greater devotee, the lesser devotee should render service and take instruction. Those are the proper relationships. And the perverted form of the proper relationships is the superior wants to exploit the inferior. The equals are proud, you know, proud of being who they are, boast about their position and activities. And the inferior is envious of the superior. So those are like the perverted versions. But the pure versions are that superior gives affection and instruction, that equals are friends. Friends amongst devotees means that each one thinks the other is superior. Prabhu. They don't feel they're equals, but they act like equals. And the junior will render service and take instruction. So of course, I mentioned the books. The books are the main. But there's also the holy name, Harinam Sankirtan, giving people the holy name. That's also an important process. Of course, there's Harinam Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, chanting in the streets. When I was in Bombay recently, we met a very dear friend and staunch supporter of Srila Prabhupada named Mr. Sethi, P.L. Sethi. And he told about his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. He lived in Goregaon, which was a northern suburb. And at the time, Srila Prabhupada and the devotees lived in South Bombay. And so he read in the newspaper that some Swami had come with American and European sadhus and they were chanting Hare Krishna. So he wanted to meet them. So eventually he found the place. He met Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada asked him, "What do you do in the morning? What's your morning schedule?" So he said, "Oh, I get up. You know, I brush my teeth, I bathe, get dressed, and I have some tea and toast and read the newspaper, and then I go to work." Srila Prabhupada said, "And Srila Prabhupada said, "And what's the difference between you and a pig?" Srila Prabhupada was very bold, but he could also judge his audience. So, and there was some more discussions, and he said, "So what should I do? You know, what do you want me to do?" And Prabhupada said, every Sunday you should invite the devotees to your place, and you should do Harinam Sankirtan in the streets, and then at the end you should give them a sumptuous feast." So that's Dadati. Dadati pratigrinati guyamakyati prichati. Srila Prabhupada says the best gift that one can give is the holy name. The holy name and the books. The books will convince us to chant the holy name. As Srila Prabhupada said, Sankirtan will keep the devotees happy, and reading my books will keep them. Yeah. So these two are most important. And if we do that, we'll be enlivened, because that's our life, to practice and preach Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession will be pleased, and by their pleasure, by their goodwill, our natural attraction for Krishna will develop. And eventually, through disciplic succession, we will, you know, Srila Prabhupada maybe will recommend us to Srimati Radharani, and then she'll recommend us to Krishna, and then he will accept us. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.